to General Lessy.
Thank you very much. First of all, I think just to remind ourselves that through the lens of the affected communities, the lines between the development and humanitarians are getting blurrer and blurrer. You know, for the affected people, frankly, it doesn't matter from which perspective, you know, their needs are responded to. They have very immediate needs, so very urgent needs that may be responded to from a humanitarian perspective, but they have also underlying vulnerabilities, you know, that must be responded, you know, from, you know, the development perspective, and those perspectives go together, you know, most of the time. So it is, I think, up to us now to make this nexus, humanitarian and development work, and then apply it, you know, to, you know, the local context and local communities, and then make, you know, that happen. So it will be harder and harder, I think, you know, looking ahead, you know, to continue drawing those deep, you know, lines, you know, between those perspectives, even though we all understand that, well, bureaucracies are not organized, you know, that way, that things, you know, get so, you know, articulated and work in synergy. But nonetheless, I think situations on the ground and, you know, the call for long-lasting impact, you know, will force somehow, you know, to make that work. And I think the earlier we start committing ourselves, you know, into that and working together along those lines, you know, the better it will be. That leads me to the other point that was raised in Pigeonholes about, you know, local actors and in areas where there are known or very few local actors. Well, I don't know, and I can hardly imagine, you know, context where there are no local actors, because depending on how you define local actors, you know, we work and in areas because there are people, and those people are local actors. Most of the time, they are the ones that starting reacting and responding before any institution arrive, and any, you know, organization comes. These are the poor women in poor households who take care of, you know, refugees when they first arrive. They are the ones that, you know, care for their loved ones, then their neighbors. They are the ones that, you know, starting implementing principled humanitarian action before anybody. So local actors should not be only understood by the local institutions, you know, be they associations organization on the ground. They are the people themselves, the families, the communities, and their different forms of organization. And those different forms of organization, they range from the youth groups to the women's groups, you know, to all the other social network types of mechanisms, you know, that they have that are building the social capital. And it is just not because they're there, it is also because they have the knowledge, you know, they understand the cultures, you know, they understand also, you know, what is affecting them. They are the first ones that notice that there is something wrong going on in the community. They are the ones that first, you know, see the signs of disease by seeing more animals dying than the year before, more people falling sick, you know, than the year before. And I think all that is an extremely important knowledge, you know, that can categorize in community surveillance, you know, type of mechanism. But beyond the surveillance, there are the ones also that act and then act first. Recognizing those actors in their full rights, supporting them, investing in them, you know, is the first thing, you know, that needs, you know, to happen. And that does not, again, only mean, you know, the institutions or the formal type of, you know, organization, you know, that we have. We must, however, recognize that there is often gaps and disparities between central governments and local governments, and, you know, the central authorities and the so-called periphery, where the local actors are, you know, most of the time. So, and the question from Pigeonhole is very pertinent in that regard, you know, that we need to, how do you call it, fill that gaps and then put a bridge, you know, between, you know, those different institutions. And sometimes the best way to do it is not in the middle or in the height, you know, of a crisis or of a hazard. It can be best done, you know, prior, you know, to that. So building this kind of a relationship, facilitating them, investing also and partnering, you know, with a local governance, you know, structure is something, you know, extremely important. Rebuilding the relationships and trust that is often, you know, broken between, you know, communities and the different types of formal institution and organization is something that is extremely important. From our perspective, of course, the reason why most of the time, you know, we are very quick in responding is that our volunteers work and then live in those very communities alongside, you know, those local actors, and that's why we put it, you know, as a very, very important, you know, element, you know, to work together. Partnership is key because that's where the coordination, you know, comes in. We cannot, despite everything that I said before, shift the whole burden of a response to local communities and local actors alone. We have to share, you know, the burden, we have to provide support, and then we have to make, you know, the investments, which is then can best happen at both regional and global level to make local action, not actors this time, to make the local actions work. And my final point is, all kind of hazards and shocks, you know, that we are facing, and they may turn in, and eventually may turn into disasters, they start locally, and they can only be contained locally. And that's why it is so important that we make the coordination and support, you know, to local actors, you know, work, be it in terms of so-called natural hazards, be it in epidemics. It starts local, it will finish local, and we have all an interest, you know, to partner in providing that support which is required.